John Wick 4 is over, but here on Post Show Recaps Theater, we are just getting started. My name is Ariel, and I'm karate chopping the air, trying to fight off some bad guys while also introducing my co-host. It's Grace. What's up, Grace?
Let's kill some people. Let's do some assassinating.
Let's do murder, but with a pencil. You got to make it fancy.
For 3 hours. Let's do it.
3 hours. Yeah, spoiler alert. This movie is long. Our podcast will not be as long, fortunately for us. But John Wick 4. I can't believe we're already at 4.
Actually, it's called John Wick Chapter 4, actually.
I had to look it up because I thought there was a colon or something.
Yep.
But colon the chapter 4. Because I remember when the credits rolled at the end, I was like, oh, it's actually called Chapter 4.
Well, but then John Wick 3 is called John Wick colon Chapter 3 hyphen Parabellum.
Oh, it's a hyphen. I was going to ask, how do you deal with the colon, the double? No. We know double colon isn't good. We don't like that. Or at least I don't.
If you have two colons, you got to get to see a doctor. Or maybe not. Maybe that's great.
Maybe you don't have to have a colonoscopy if you have two colons? Because they're I'm sure one is fine. If the two, you'll be.
Yeah. But this movie was pretty fun. I mean, John Wick, it's like the big franchise. Made a lot of money this weekend. It was fun. I saw it opening. No, I saw it Friday night. So technically, I did see an opening night, but
what is now opening night with the Black Friday, Thanksgiving shopping of it all. But yeah, big franchise. If you want to subscribe to our franchise, Bush Recap Theater, search Pusher Recaps Theater wherever you get your podcast catchers, pusherrecaps.com/movies for your URL needs within those podcast catchers. I also like this movie. I wanted to see it opening day, but because it was long, I had a lot to consider with how my energy level was at the end of last week. You know, all these fights, you know, karate chopping that I have to do sometimes. But I didn't see it until the weekend. I saw the first morning show, which, you know, movie when it's this long, I'm like, I gotta go in the morning or else I'm gonna fall asleep. As we love to talk about on this pod, how to avoid us falling asleep is probably the most underreported bit that we do. But I saw it on Sunday morning, and the expectations were high, I have to say, because the reviews have been so positive and the word of mouth has been so positive. So I was a little bit worried knowing that, you know, sometimes I like to see it right away before that happens. But I can report happily that even though I could probably find 10 or 15 minutes to cut out of this movie, I enjoyed it. And it was a fun... I asked you before I went to see it. I'm like, Grace, it's the fourth one. Is there anything that I need to know in the first three? And I did watch a very helpful YouTube summary video of the first three movies. After you told me, you started to walk me through some of the things that had happened, things that I did not remember
Three is very silly, I think. When you say many of the plot points from three out loud, it's very silly. But
I learned through this video that Parabellum, the subtitle of the third movie, means prepare for war, if I'm remembering correctly. So, you know, that
makes sense. At the beginning, right? He's like, he's excommunicado, right?
Yeah, I love that certain words you just can't say in English in this movie. Yeah. You got to say excommunicado. Which is super fun. But yeah, I really like the movie, as I said. I thought it was an amazing sequel, even though I don't remember the second and third movies that much, because the first one used to play on TV a whole lot and the second and third ones did not as much as I saw. This is either my favorite or my second favorite. I think I might like it better than the first one just because this one had more emotional stakes that I personally responded to for some of the characters that we'll get into. But it's a great movie. Keanu Reeves, obviously, he's beloved. Anytime he says, yeah, the whole audience, the whole theater just laughs. I can't think of many actors who can, you know, merit that response on just one word. But, you know, the franchise is alive and well. Ish and you know it's an enjoyable movie. If you're a crazy action fan, you've probably already seen the movie or you're planning on seeing it anyway, but I recommend it. It's as good as a super bloody and violent movie can be, as far as I'm concerned.
It's really fun. It's really good. I think I like the first one the most, because I feel like one of the things that happens in the John Wick franchise is like, yeah, he like certainly has reasons to do everything he's doing, but also like I do feel like this one is the most far removed from John Wick having sort of the personal stake, which we'll get into when we spoil the whole movie, whereas like one and then two, certainly I feel like there's like, you know, it's so clear why he's doing what he's doing, whereas like I feel like three and four are so much about like the ramifications of what he did in one and two. And it is long. I mean, you know, it's, I saw somebody on, I won't spoil, but someone says like, oh, it has this really good action scene.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was watching, I was like, I guess this could be it. This one could be it. This could be it. And eventually we do get to like the one I'm like, oh yeah, I think this is it. But oh, I don't really
Grace, I had the exact same experience. I'm like, yeah. Is this the one?
Yeah.
Ooh, is yeah. this the one?
Yeah, I mean, I just did it by accident. I clicked the spoiler tag. I shouldn't have clicked. And it was like, you know, it cut nicely. It was like the, like, mm-hmm. not really the spoiler. It was like, it was right, a really right. good action scene, you know? Mm-hmm. And I'm even kind of trying to spoiler that for people who haven't watched.
Yeah, don't click yet. On that.
Yeah. But I do think it's good. I think, like, the thing that I'm always most impressed is, like, one is the most personal story. But then they do such a good job, I think, with the world building. I think it's very fun. Like, yeah, you have the Bowery King and you have like, you just, I don't know. So much of it is great. And the Continental, and there's like, you know, the rules of the Continental is like, you can't fight anybody in the Continental. And
no, I just think the, business.
No business.
In the Continental
ground. Is the manager in? The manager's always in. Is
the manager in? Yeah, the manager doesn't sleep, it sounds like.
That's honestly. Right. So I do think it was very fun. It was a good, it did really well at the box office. And I think like a lot of people came out of the movie, I think, very happy. It's the movie is super heavy on action. Like not just that there's a lot of action scenes, but that the action scenes are very long, which yes. again, like I'm not really like I'm critiquing that the movie was long, but I think like once you know what you're in for, I thought it was like, and I knew what I was getting in for. I wasn't like sitting like looking at my watch, like, right, oh my right. God, we're getting it, you know, 3 hours. But so I thought it was very fun. Like the previous movies, it introduced some new people. There's a, you know, I think the villain in this one is pretty fun. Yes,
I agree.
As well. So overall, I thought it was enjoyable. I do think like, I'm glad it did well, because I do think like putting a 3-hour movie out is like, that's risky. I
it's
think,
a tough ask, yeah.
I just like in the sense that like, you know, I think there's a lot of like the debate about like movies need to be 90 minutes or whatever. But also I think part of that is just too, like, there's so much content out in the world that to like, you know, request somebody go and watch something for 3 hours. But I think it did better than any of the previous John Wick installments in terms of box office numbers. So I'm happy. I'm happy for Keanu. It was fun. Yeah.
I'm so happy for Keanu, especially.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's great that it's been doing well. And I, yeah, like I said, there are things I could cut out. I'm always going to bellyache about a film's length for the most part, I guess, except the one exception that comes to mind is Drive My Car, the mm-hmm. movie that I loved last year. But yeah, this movie, so many good performances, you know, Lance Reddick, who we lost in real life. Very sad. You know, he when he came up on the screen on this movie, I was like, oh my God, yeah. there he is. I was yeah. so happy to see him. I don't know if this is his last role. I would have to like look up, you know, if he goes the Ray Liotta route, he'll be working for years after this.
Very true.
but it does look like happy to see him.
I think he's been in at least 4 movies, including there is a spinoff in the works for John Wick. So he, I believe.
Yes. And I wasn't sure if it was like in the works in the sense of like it's definitely being made or in the works as far as, and obviously we won't get into details of what the spinoff is, because I think that's spoiler territory. But just as far as like, is it definitely happening or is it like kind of a maybe in development?
Well, there was a thing I saw today that the spinoff is for sure happening. And yet I thought I saw something else that there might be another spinoff announcement coming. But Lance Reddick, in addition to that, is going to be in the White Men Can't Jump remake. And also he's going to be in the Percy Jackson TV show that's coming out playing Zeus.
That's right. I remember that casting because it was 2 or 3 actors who I was a fan of. I'm like, oh, look at them playing gods.
Yeah. Yeah. So he's going to be in some stuff that is yet to come, probably all the way into 2024.
Love it. We love to see an actor taking roles from the beyond. No, but we miss you, Lance Reddick, or at least I do. Okay. I think it is time to, I can hear the kettle whistling.
Hmm.
I don't know if you can hear it, Grace, but it is time. I definitely can. It is time to spill the PSRT and get into the spoilers of this 9-hour movie. Okay, here we go. John Wick, he's hiding underground with the Bowery King, who's played by Lawrence Fishburne, and he wants revenge on the High Table. I love it. I do love, very quickly, what to say, I do love that these movies just go one into the other. Like, it's just, you don't need the previously on. I mean, I clearly sought one out, but I like that they don't, you know, they give you, they don't spoon feed you. They're just like, okay, if you want to see this movie, you got to get in. Okay. So he travels to Morocco very quickly in the movie, and kills the elder, the one who sits above the table. So really like the person in charge above the High Table. In response to this, the High Table sends the I kept getting tripped up. Is it Marquis or Marquise? I know it's spelled.
I think it's Marquis. Like, okay, thank you.
Because I kept seeing it in writing, and I'm like, is the S silent, like, in the language, or am I just an American idiot? The answer is the latter. The High Table sends the Marquis, played by Bill Skarsgård, who is having a great 2-year span. He was great in what movie? I almost said
he was It. He was Pennywise. It, yes. But also in Barbarian.
Barbarian last year. And now I was going to say like two really big movies, or at least two movies that were hugely critically successful.
He's also playing, I think upcoming, he'll be playing Count Orlok in Nosferatu.
I want him to play Scarlett Johansson in something.
That would be great.
Crazy. Like layers on layers.
She played all the bullets, actually.
I thought she played the pencil. So we meet Marquis again, played so hilariously and dangerously, seeming, by Bill Skarsgård. He summons Winston, played by Ian McShane, and Charon. How do you?
Charon, I think.
Yes. To his office, and they are forced to watch the New York Continental, which is the hotel that they run, be demolished. Yeah, it was deconsecrated, was from the previous movie. And then he very unceremoniously kills Lance Reddick's character, which was very sad to watch in real time because he died in real life. So it was, on the one hand, it felt kind of appropriate, like, oh, they killed his character, but on the other hand, it was like, oh god, that's so extra sad.
Died
both in real life and in this movie franchise. But
I'm glad his character got like an ending, though. I think
I agree with that. He got to so quote unquote go out on his own terms a little bit. We mourn him. The Marquis travels to Paris. There's a lot of Paris in this movie. Travels to Paris to hire Kane, played by Donnie Yen, a blind assassin, an old friend of John Wick, to kill John Wick by threatening to murder Kane's daughter if he doesn't do it. So that's like a big sticking point in the movie.
Kane's daughter, like similarly to Sophia, played by Halle Berry in 3, I think is like
you don't work for the High Table anymore, but you still have to do stuff when we want you to, or else we'll kill somebody you love. It's a bad deal. It seems like the only person who was actually out was John Wick, which is crazy that he was like that. He now is back in this mess. Anyway,
most people take it for their family members, which is Sophia and Kane have both taken it to make sure that their daughters are not caught up in assassin hitmen activity.
Assassin rigmarole. So John takes refuge at the Continental in Osaka, and we meet his friend, Koji, played by Hiroyuki Sanada, who is an actor that you definitely know.
Yeah.
You should look him up. Loved seeing him. And John, Koji, and his daughter, and Koji's daughter, Akira, fight off the Marquis assassins who show up at the hotel. And eventually, John fights Kane. I just want to say, this, for me, was the thing that worked probably, maybe not the best in the movie, that I think that's a little hyperbolic, but like early on, this worked so well for me. The friendship, I guess, and love between Koji and his daughter Akira. Like, I felt it immediately, and it was so well acted by both of them. And I just I was like, oh my God, I'm feeling so many emotions, so much more than I thought I would for this movie.
Yeah, the reveal here is like that essentially, like, Koji is willing to like keep John, even though he's excommunicado, and then Akira being like, essentially like, oh my God, why are you doing like that? Like, surprise
her line.
Dad.
Yeah. Her line when she said everything he touches turns to death. I'm probably not getting the line right, but I was her when she says that, I just felt it like a knife in my heart. I was like, oh God. And of course, you know, it's going to come to bear in some way. And it does, because, Kane kills Koji. So, you know, it comes to bear very quickly. They are interrupted by a different bounty hunter called Nobody, who was a lot of fun. And he almost kills John, but determines that the price is too low and he deserves more money, which that part probably makes the most sense out of everything that happened in this movie.
Very notably, Mr. Nobody has a dog as well.
Yes, a lovely dog. And I want to get into, I will get to the thing about money later, because I think it's probably the, in a movie that's full of things that aren't realistic, the amount of money that people are putting hits on, like the high tables putting hits on people, is kind of ridiculous to me. Ridiculously low, to be clear.
Yeah.
So John returns to New York and meets with Winston. Winston suggests that he challenge the Marquis to a duel, you know, lots of things, but Game of Thrones and Tyrion came to mind. Challenge him to a duel, and because if he wins, then he can ask for freedom to his obligation at the High Table, and truly be free. Because as Winston rightly points out, and I think is one of the cool things about the movie that's kind of meta, Winston's like, where do you think this is gonna end? Like, all this violence, how do you think you can have this peace that you're chasing? Which I think was both, like I said, super impactful in the moment, and also like, yeah, how many more movies can we make of this thing? John's like, that's actually a pretty good idea, as all of us in the audience thought as well. So John can only request that duel if he is part of a family, and his original family, it turns out, has excommunicated him also in a certain way. And he needs to be a part of a family in order to make the challenge. So he needs to be able to re-enter the Ruscaroma family. He travels to their headquarters in Berlin. The head person, who I guess is his relative, she agrees. I can't remember how they're related, but she agrees to let him rejoin if he kills Killa, a German High Table senior who murdered her father. So she's like, you do one for me and then I will do one for you.
I think it's his adoptive sister's, Katya.
Katya, I remember. Alias reference for those who know. If you know, you know. John infiltrates Killa's club, but she's
like aware because Kane has looped her in that John is there.
Yes. And it's basically what happens is an ambush. So John tries to John escapes Killa and regains his status in Ruscaroma. There's this whole like standoff where nobody shows up, and Kane shows up, and John shows up, and they're kind of all being attacked. So it's actually kind of a fun scene. So back in Paris, John and the Marquis agree to the stakes of the duel, and you could tell the Marquis is like, I don't want this, because he's kind of, you know, he's more talk than anything else. Winston hilariously, as John's number two, you need a number two in the duel. Winston wants to be reinstated as manager of the New York Continental, and also wants the New York Continental to be completely rebuilt, all on the High Table's dime. But if he loses, John dies, whatever, no big deal. The stakes couldn't be any lower for John. I'm being sarcastic. The Marquis makes Kane duel in his place, because just like in Game of Thrones, apparently you can choose a challenger, a champion for yourself. It doesn't have to be you. So the duel will take place at sunrise at the Sacré-Cœur in Paris, and they choose pistols. Thank you. It's somewhere I've been. When they said it, I was like, oh my God, I know where that is.
This thing happens where they like flip over, they like pick a category, and then they each flip over a card. Whoever has the higher number.
Whoever has the higher card.
And I was like, I don't really get it, but cool.
The cards were super fancy. The cards were super fancy. And they're not even cards. They're like golden tablets, ceramic plates of that have card symbols on them. And also, if John, this is important, if John doesn't show up on time, he and Winston will be killed immediately, or they'll be ordered to be killed. So the Bowery King, Lawrence Fishburne, gives John a new weapon and a new ballistic suit. One of the funny things in this movie is all the people putting up their suits to their faces so they can't get shot.
John Wick does it all the time. He's so just like hiding in the suit.
Hiding your face behind your suit, which looks so ridiculous. But obviously, you know, in the context of the movie, the suits are all bulletproof. And then the Marquis also is a POS and tries to stop John Wick from even getting to the duel by putting an increasing amount of money as a bounty on John Wick's head. So basically, he's calling armies of assassins to kill John Wick before John Wick can even get to the duel. Thereby, he won't have to even go through with it. What's ridiculous to me is how low these numbers are. You know what? Put a pin in that. I'll finish first, then we'll come back to the amount of money. So John fights off the assassins on his way, but it takes a really long time. They go all over Paris. There's a really funny bit with the operators who we've seen in the previous movies, like putting out a very coded radio message to all assassins, like, listen, we're going to play this other song and the price just got higher and this fight is getting hot and we still haven't caught him. It's just kind of funny. And the voice that is talking on the radio is much sweeter and nicer sounding than mine. And so John is fighting off these assassins. Mr. Nobody is trying to stalk John to kill him, but he also wants the right price. But then John does something really cool that we've seen him do before, or at least that we understand why he's doing it. He saves Mr. Nobody's dog from being killed, even though he has no real reason to do so beyond just it's the right thing to do because dogs are pure and we don't deserve them as humans. And then Mr. Nobody sees that John did this. And of course, you know what's going to happen. He's like, oh, damn, is this guy a good guy? I don't really want to kill him. So Kane also appears and he aids John in fighting and helps John get to the top of the church where the duel is supposed to take place. There's a lot of stairs and those stairs are really there. There's a funicular, the thing that goes like up the hill. I actually thought that Mr. Nobody was going to show up and break into the funicular and he was like, come on guys, let's get upstairs, because it's like you only have 3 minutes to make it up all those stairs. I don't see it. Anyway.
So there is, at this point in the movie, we're pretty like far. I think we're like, you know, probably like over two hours into the movie, and then there's this one scene and it's with the stairs where he's like trying to get up the stairs. And there's also this man named Chidi, who's the Marquis's like right-hand man. And I do think they really do play with like how long this movie, like in a way that they're like winking at us and also just how ridiculous it is. Cause Chidi keeps like getting beat up and then he'll just show back up and be like, he's still here. And they're like, oh my God, how are you not dead?
Three cars.
Yeah.
And then he shows up at the stairs in front of the church.
Yeah.
And I will say, to its credit, the movie does a great job at like establishing the Parisian geography and where everything is. And some beautiful shots. I'm sure some of these places were just green screen, but it all looked really cool.
And then the stairs, like he like gets up a bunch of stairs and he gets knocked downstairs.
He
and
gets up, I would say, like 80% of the stairs.
Yeah.
There are two, and they've stayed in the movie, there are two, somewhere around 222 stairs to get all the way up to the top of the church where the duel is taking place. He gets about 80% of the way and then he is knocked down and he tumbles and continues to tumble. And we're watching the whole thing happen. There's no cut, or at least there's no cut in him falling. And to your point about the winking at us, I'm like, oh my God, he's still falling.
I know. I think they do it again. I believe he
falls maybe third. And then at that point, when he first falls, he's, I would say like 30% of the way up. And then he falls again. And then he's all the way at the bottom. I'm like, well, this is.
And they say he has like 2 minutes. But that's the exact moment where Kane shows up, right? To be like, all
that's
right.
What I thought. He was like, we're going to take the funicular thing.
Yeah.
But no, it was not to be. So. Kane helps them because they're friends, and then so they actually do make it on time miraculously, or at least before the sun actually rises. They had a time that they had to be, but actually the physical sunrise. What is it called? It's called the sun. The sun rising is actually the thing that they're looking for. So by the time the sun actually peeks out from the horizon, they have arrived. So Kane and John do duel. They do the very classic pistol 30 paces. You know, after two rounds, they've both hit each other twice. And after each round, they have to get a little closer. Kane shoots John in the stomach. And at this point, I'm like, wait, what just happened? Why didn't it seem like John didn't shoot, but I actually wasn't clocking what happened. It just seemed like I missed something. Right. So then the Marquis is like, ah, I will do, I will
coup de grâce.
Coup de grâce. Yeah. And he decides to take it and take the final shot, something that is undeserved because he didn't earn it. But of course, he's the hubris and the pride and whatever that he thinks he succeeded. But as soon as the Marquis steps up to him and shoot, this is when Winston says, "You something along the lines of you arrogant prick." And then John reveals that he never took his shot. So he shoots the Marquis in the head, killing him, which right before that, the Marquis released Kane from his obligation of doing whatever the High Table wanted to keep his daughter alive. So he has freed Kane, and then John gets to kill him. So it's actually a very clever way to give everyone a happy ending that doesn't really feel like a cheat. Mm-hmm. And then the Harbinger, played by
Clancy Brown,
right, recognize that voice anywhere, grants Kane and John their freedom and reinstates Winston, which is what he wanted. Winston's hilarious. John sits on the steps, keels over and dies. It actually isn't clear in that moment that he's dead. It isn't until you see the gravestone, or at least for me, it wasn't until you see, because you see him survive so many things and so many people. Yeah. It just seemed like he was taking a break. Like, he worked so hard to get up the stairs and then he had to take a break. So then he dies, which is actually like not what I was expecting.
No, yeah.
Winston and the Bowery Kim bid farewell to John at his gravesite that I just mentioned. Of course, he's buried right next to his wife, Helen. And
there's a very cute moment where he says, they're talking earlier about like when they die. And he says,
when
I
he dies,
be
what would you want on like your gravestone? And John says, I want mine to say loving husband. And it isn't indeed, in fact, what we see his gravestone say. So it is very sweet that it says that, and that they, one, that they remembered after all the, you know, head trauma. Or I guess Winston
Winston and the Bowery King didn't do anything.
They didn't really fight that much, so they have all their faculties.
Yeah.
And that's the end of the movie. And then in a post-credit scene, Kane returns to Paris to reunite with his daughter now that he can like freely speak to her. He's been released by the High Table. But this is when Akira makes an appearance. And earlier in the movie, after Kane killed her dad, he said to her, Kane called after her and said, I expect something along the lines of, I'll see you again. The implication being Akira will eventually seek revenge. And it works incredibly well here that it's in the moment where he may want to reunite with his daughter. And it, I mean, the cruel thing would be to kill his daughter. I wasn't sure what she was going to do. Like, is she going to kill him to get revenge, or is she going to kill the daughter? I guess killing the daughter would be a little bit more bloodthirsty.
So, I actually think that the potential spinoff that has not been announced is probably this. I do like that idea of
essentially,
you know, have like, there's a lot of like Asian influence to these movies, and then doing something with like Asian leads, I think is makes a lot of sense. But the other spinoff that has been announced is not related to it at all, which is Ballerina. And it's out of the Armas led.
What? Thing,
which, it, yeah.
Is this about? No, I generally don't. This is not a bit. Is this about
it's set between
Marilyn Monroe or something?
It's set between 3 and 4. And it's and you know what? Was Ana de Armas? Wasn't she in she was in the James Bond film? She was like great in the James Bond film. I actually
so good in whatever the movie that happened last in the James Bond universe that I can't remember. Yeah. I'm thinking Skyfall, but that's not it.
But that's the spin-off series is Ana de Armas. It's called Ballerina.
I always remember the way she was like, James, take the cigar for Felix. She's so good. So cute. Yeah. That's the movie. That's 3 hours of movie in about 15 minutes.
Dude, there's a lot, but also like most of it is action scenes. I actually am intrigued. So now that we're in the spoiler section, I believe it was Riley, and I clicked on the spoiler tag, and it was like, it has one of my, maybe not one of, I can't remember what it said, but like my favorite action scene ever in the John Wick franchise, which I still do think, I think while I don't love 3 overall, I think 3 is kind of silly, but 3 does have the really awesome like horse stable and like running away from the horse while there's like a motorcycle of folks chasing him. But I'm wondering, what scene do you think is the scene Riley is referring to? Because I think there's a few you could tag as really cool action scenes from
What would be those few that you could take.
Okay. So
there's the one, because there is early on, to your point about horses early on, I was like, oh my God, a horse chase with guns. I was like, this is the first time I've ever seen that. I'm like, no, it can't be. This has got to have been done before.
So I think that the fight at the Osaka Continental is really good with like Kane. Kane being black, and it's like John is fighting off the like the two different type of people, which are like the men in suits and then also the like fully heavily armored, like almost like riot squad people like around the paintings. I do think the scene that's done pretty much entirely overhead in the building is really good, where John has that gun that shoots like fire. Is really, really good.
That turned into like a video game, but I mean that in the best way. Like, to your point, the camera angle shifts and we're kind of following him around in a weird like maze, and that really worked.
And then I think you could take pretty much like all of Paris, like the final, like from the duel being set to sunrise, which is essentially like he's driving the car and he knocks the doors off the car and he's like basically like donutting around, like shooting the people in the middle, and then he's like
forever donut.
They're basically like, playing Frogger in the streets of Paris, all the way to the stairs and all the way up the stairs.
The Arc de Triomphe.
I think that
is interesting, right? To consider it like one long action set piece in Paris. I think that might be it. The one that I actually liked a lot was when Kane's character and I'm trying to remember now, Koji's characters have the sword fight and
outside
and it didn't have and John Wick was nowhere near. It just was like really cool to have these two Asian actors just be allowed to sword fight and look really cool with Akira also kind of like around in the background. Felt very much like especially like Donnie Yen, like an actor who is so famous for this kind of action, to give him his, not just to give him an opportunity, but to give him a lot of the movie and give him a lot of the action, felt super appropriate and earned in a way that I was pleasantly surprised by.
I wasn't sure if I would love the like blind assassin thing, but I did like when he's in the Continental and you first sort of see how he does his work, and when he sets up the doorbell alarms is pretty funny. It's pretty good. It's probably not my favorite fight, but it's very clever.
Cool. Yeah, to your point, it was interesting to see how he uses his cane. He's called Cane, but how he uses his cane that has a sword in it. And wields it. It kind of felt, in the very beginning especially, or in the very beginning of meeting him, it felt like a little bit like Daredevil. Like his power was kind of like, is he able to kind of see?
Yeah, I figured like heightened senses, you know?
Right. Yeah. You kind of explain it. And I don't mean like that was missing. I just was clocking that of like, oh, clearly he's using not just the physical nature of like poking a stick around a corner, for instance, and like feeling around things, but also sound helping him like paint a picture of the physical space. It was really interesting.
I think if you could cut anything from this movie, I do think that like he has to be part of Rusca Roma again, I think is like pretty unnecessary, because it's only in there to be like, you know, I do love the like the fake rules that they, you know, of this like world, right? Like the dueling thing, I like make fun of it, but like I think it's kind of, you know, oh, we play this little card game to figure, you know, whatever. But this idea that you have to be part of a family to be able to challenge the Marquis, I do get that you need something to like essentially be like, why wouldn't the Marquis just say no? But I do think like if there's a piece I'm gonna cut, it's like the whole like go to Berlin and then you have to kill Killa to be part of, I'm like, this whole piece, I think that's like definitely where I thought there was like room to cut from the film.
I agree, because it wasn't until that moment. I mean, you know, we do get some funny moments out of it for sure. And to be clear, all to the film's credit, like all of the emotional stuff for the most part really works. All the friendships with John like feel really well earned, even like both characters who have been in all the movies and characters who we just met in this movie. All the history feels real, some incredible real emotional acting besides just all the action. But this moment was the first time where I was like, wait a minute, so wait, he has to still do what now? Wait, so do we have time for him to get his papers, so to speak? and still fight the duel. I'm like, that's where I started to like get a little itchy in my seat, so to speak, where I'm like, wait. And I didn't want to check the time, like take myself out of it, but I'm like, do we have time for all of this? Or is like somehow the duel being left for another movie, but that would feel very anticlimactic. I agree that, to your point about the rules, I do agree that in this world building and even in this fourth movie, we're still getting new details. Like in the first movie, it feels like we're just scratching the surface. And then as we keep going, we get more and more. But like, we didn't need to write that rule of like, he has to be in a family. It could have just been like, anybody who used to be an assassin is allowed to, you can explain that away very easily. Like he used to be a so-and-so, so he can just challenge. You never, you know, leave that or never drop that right or whatever. It kind of felt like, the actress who plays the leader of the family, to her credit, was very funny. I really like her, but I didn't need it.
I've always thought the like John Wick is actually secretly Russian. I didn't really like it from previous movies. It does give us Angelica
you don't
Houston.
Like accent, Grace? Yeah, Angelica Houston. Okay. In the previous movie.
Okay, you said accents. I was gonna leave, but I do. I really like Bill Skarsgård in this movie. I like him a lot. I think he's great. I think he's perfectly cast as I don't know what is happening with James Bond at the moment. So to like play the villain in John Wick is perfectly fine substitute for, but he feels so James Bond villainy, like this the same way that like Rami Malek did when he got cast. Like there's just a thing about them that feels right. Okay. I can see them like slotting so easily. What accent did he have? What is his accent? His plus French, his own accent, are they like Norwegian and that, like, I don't know where the Skarsgårds are from, but like, you know,
they're from the fjords. They're from the fjords.
It's fine because it was like almost like it's like enough for me to just be like, yeah, whatever, it's fine. But I mean, like, it's not Tom Hanks in Elvis bad, but like,
no, I agree.
I don't know if the accent, I don't know.
This is passing the smell test. All that Paris talk. Yeah, I agree. I think he's like
great.
You said,
he's so
having
funny,
so
but,
much
yeah.
fun.
Yeah.
He feels he's very impressively and effectively striking the balance between like the funny, unhinged, you don't know what they're going to do next, but also very dangerous and someone that you should not F with and like you should fear. And that's like a tricky thing to be able to do both really well. And he does do that. The accent, I'm like, what? And you know me, I was stuck on the, should I be pronouncing the S or not? So I actually feel better not knowing or being confused in that, because clearly the movie was, you know, leaving me out in the dark with what accent is real and what's not.
Yeah.
But he's so good. Lance Reddick, we already said he played a good character. It did kind of feel like his send off could have been a little bit more.
I agree. They didn't know, you know, I don't think they knew.
No, of course.
And then,
right,
and then they do have this moment where I think they're talking about him later and like, you know, what a good guy. Like he was like more than a, you know, he's a good guy. You know, I like, you know, yeah. Yeah.
He was more than a concierge. He was more than my number two. He was my heart. You know, Lawrence Fishburne, obviously great. I love that. Halle Berry. Did I imagine this? Halle Berry has like a flashback or a, because she's listed here on the IMDb, and then I'm like,
She's in three.
That.
I don't remember her being in.
I actually
this
was
movie.
Worried when I saw her in the three in the in the research that I was doing. I was like, oh no, I hope she's not back.
I thought Clancy Brown as the Harbinger. I really like. One of my favorite things is like when people get introduced and then they like. I kind of wish like Skarsgård didn't have like a name other than the Marquis. Like I wish he wasn't because his name is Vincent de Grimaud, but I wish he was just the Marquis in the way that Clancy Brown is just the Harbinger, just a guy who adjudicates the rules. Like I think it's so funny. Ooh, like in the same way that Lawrence Fishburne
from the last movie.
There's the adjudicator, Lawrence Fishburne being the Bowery King. Like I love that Mr. like Shamir Anderson being Mr. Nobody. I thought it was very fun. Yeah.
Yes. Mr. Yeah. Nobody.
Mr. Nobody
indeed. I also I already called out Akira, played by Rina Sawayama. I loved. She cut me right in the heart with that blade that she wields. And I would be so happy to see her reappear in something. I don't know what, if she's gonna be, maybe she can join. I would love to see her working together with Ana de Armas.
Yeah, I mean, I do. I mean, it's so interesting that the post-credit scene is like Kane and Akira, right? Because like that's not the spinoff that they have planned.
And I had heard about a spinoff, but I had no. I didn't want to look up any details about it because I thought it would be like spoilery for the movie before I saw it. But to your point, once I saw the post-credits, I was like, oh, I guess this is it. This is like what the thing is.
Apparently not, but I would presume, like, my guess is, because the rumor I heard was that there's another announcement coming about a different spinoff, and I do think that, like, handing this franchise over to some, like, people from Asia, I think does make sense, considering, like, there's a long history of, like, you know, Asian action movies, and I think that would make a lot of sense and be a smart way to move sort of this, like, the base franchise over. It does seem like Ballerina is going to be heavily, like, super in the world. Like, I think there's a chance Keanu is in it because it's set between three and four.
It's so a little bit of a prequel spin-off.
Keanu and Angelica, and I think it's going to be very, you know, there was like when Angelica Houston, like the director, we see her, she's like watching this like girl perform ballet and she keeps like chastising her. So I think it's going to be that's where the track they want to go is like the run. And to be fair, like I do think, like I said, like the Russian stuff to me is like not super interesting in terms of John Wick, but I actually think it's like fun as like, you know, to get Angelica Houston and Armas to do this like Russian spy thing could be fun. And in the world of like ballerinas, and I think also there's a scene where they're like, it's also like there's like the men are wrestling, like these things that like weirdly Russians have like obsessed over to be good at wrestling and ballerina. So I mean that could be fun, but I do think I would like this like main franchise to, if it could stick with like the Akira and Kane around and be more like Asian centric, I think could be really good for the franchise.
Yes, famous Asian actress Ana de Armas. I'm very excited to see.
Imagine Michelle Yeoh in one of these things. Like, come on.
Stop.
So
don't
good,
tease.
Right?
Don't right? tease me with Michelle Yeoh making a return to action.
I like that
so
every
happy.
Movie, every John Wick movie is like my old friend that we've never heard of before. We've never talked about it. And so, yeah, you can just imagine Akira being like, I'll call my old friend Michelle Yeoh. And then Michelle Yeoh will just play Michelle Yeoh. yeah.
She'd be like, oh, you didn't think I could do this in real life? I'm actually this action star. Yeah, no, I guess even in Everything Ever All at Once, she did have a little bit of action to do.
So you did say there was a, you know, the surprise that surprised me too, that like they killed John Wick. They killed him.
I was shocked. Yeah. I was shocked that he actually died. I was shocked. I guess to the movie's credit, the very muted way in which he dies, he kind of just falls on the steps of the Sakaku and that's it. And again, I thought, oh, he's just napping. I'm like, Winston better come get him and get him to the hospital because he climbed all those stairs and he got shot and he got hit by cars. So like that was probably the most human thing he could do was kind of to fall over.
Yeah.
But I wasn't expecting it for it to be his death. There was this line earlier in the movie, and then I want to talk about the ransom thing that I keep teasing.
Yes.
There's this earlier line in the movie. I believe it's very early on. I believe it's when John Wick is talking to the elder who he very, very quickly kills after. Mm-hmm. And he says, the peace, you, because John Wick is all about like, I just want peace, right? And it's just like, and people are very quick and fair to point out to him, what kind of peace do you think you can get with all this like trail of bloodshed that you were leaving behind you? And the elder says to him, the peace you seek is only possible in, I don't think he says in your death, but I think he says in death. Which I thought was super interesting because in the moment, obviously it comes to bear because John Wick does die, but I thought in general it was so appropriate because you can make the argument that from John Wick's perspective, if he continues to dole out death, then there might be some peace for him if he kills the right people.
If he doesn't die here, then like next movie, it's like Alexander Skarsgård is showing up. It's like, you killed my brothers and the Maquis. And then it's like, it just keeps going on forever and ever. So he had to die. I think it's good. I think movies should, you know, you should do this. This is like
normalized killing main characters.
This is a la Succession, you know, like Succession just is four seasons and they're done. John Wick, four movies and that's the end of John Wick. I think it's great. Bold choice. Do it. It's great. The only thing, like, he wants this like quiet, like he wants this life where he can be out, but like he, you know, he wanted to be with his wife and he gets to be, you know, he gets to be with his wife. I think, you know, I don't know. It's good. I don't know. I it worked for me. It's I was sweet. Surprised by it because I thought they just like keep milking these.
Yeah, probably. Keep making it because to that, and there is a little bit of excitement that comes from the, like, even in this movie, right? By the time you're like, okay, he's going to challenge him to a duel, and we actually do see a way out that makes sense, both in real life and in the within the universe of, like, if you win this duel, you can get whatever you want. So, like, that part makes sense logically. Mm-hmm. But there's something fun in thinking, okay, well, what's going to be the drama for the next movie then if he wins the duel? Because clearly they're going to keep making these, and for them to subvert your expectations that way, I think is actually pretty intelligent. And, you know, not to be ageist at all, but, like, Keanu Reeves is not a young man, and he's doing, like, I believe the statistic is that keeps getting thrown around is like 90% of his own stunts.
Right.
So, like, you know,
yeah, he's almost 60.
A 60 year, I thought he was 60. A 60-ish year old man. Yeah. You know, it's not easy on the joints being hit by that many cars. I can't speak from experience, knock on wood, but, like, you know, I just have to imagine it isn't great. And imagine his insurance bills and his life insurance and how expensive those things are. Speaking of money.
Also, he's apparently going to be in the ballerina. So,
ballerina.
He's out, and also there's a lot of juice, I think, left in, like, in John Wick before one as well. Like, because there's
the history, right? Because see him in his prime, like, we're to that point, we're seeing him now, quote unquote, as a respected middle-aged elder, at least within the movie universe. That people fear him, and he's only gotten more and more vicious as the movies go on. But how vicious and effective must he have been in his prime that people fear him so much from the get in the first movie? I think that's really smart what you said of, like, oh, we could do. I mean, I don't want it necessarily, because, like, they'll either have to recast him or de-age him in a way that I don't love.
Yeah, I think it'd be interesting to see if we were going to get. It looks like about 2 years ago there was talk of a prequel miniseries called Continental.
John Wick Jr.
John Wick Jr. So, yeah, I don't know. It could be interesting. I did my auto Google, like, filler was like, who could play a young John Wick? But it seemed to be not
interested.
But I'm sure they could find someone.
The money. Yeah. You have an incredibly rich organization in the high table that has so much power, so much global control.
Yeah.
And they're like, okay, now we're upping the price. You kill John Wick, you get $18 million. I'm like, what are we doing? Like, and to be clear, I don't want, like, Dr. Evil level money that seems ridiculous and cartoonish. Right, $1 billion. But, like, what? How by this fourth movie, after everything that John Wick has done, and then later they're like, okay, we're upping the price. 22. How is it not 50 million? How is it not 100 million? It makes no sense. Because
it's only been like
so incremental. Like, okay, 28 million. Why this arbitrary look? The number just seems so small. Honestly, it took me for like a millisecond. It took me out of the movie. I'm just like, what? And to be clear, yes, I understand it's one man, right? So, like, you have to, like, weigh the thing. But this is a man who has killed everyone that you have sent after him, and you really want him dead. Like, why aren't you offering more money? This is wild to me, Grace. I don't know if I'm out on an island here, and I'm happy to be. I just think this is crazy. This is probably, to me, this was the least realistic part of the movie.
I think the whole John Wick saga only is, like, you know, a couple months at most, I think, right?
Yes,
like,
no, for sure. I remember reading, yes, the first three movies especially only take place within, like, a few weeks. So that's fine.
Yeah.
But still,
it didn't take me out of it at all, the numbers. I was like, going up, price going up. Mm-hmm.
By, like, $4 million? I am flummoxed.
Do you know how much money $4 million is?
Look, I am not someone who has this kind of money. I am just saying that, like, for people who are used to in the millions of dollars. And I understand that in the universe, normally you don't get this much for just killing one person. But we needed to get to 50. I guess that's where I'll leave it. We needed to get to 50. We deserve 50 for killing John Wick. Even Mr. Nobody, when he first negotiates 23 up front for killing him and then 23 in his 401k pension plan, that's only 46 million. Like, we're so close. We're so close to the 50. And I'm really sad that we didn't hit the 50.
You think John Wick is worth more?
I think John Wick deserves more. He's so badass. And his hair, he keeps his hair so long on the side.
Does Kane get the bounty? Kane killed John Wick.
He shot him
right in the gut.
It's smart. Yeah, yeah, although I don't know, like, does the
duel?
Oh no, but the bounty Marquee's specifically dead. That they put out pre-duel was this expires at sunrise because they're not allowed. I guess that theoretically he wouldn't be allowed to have that bounty out while the duel was going on.
Right,
but I don't know. I am selfishly glad. Yeah. I'm sorry, no shade against Halle Berry, but I'm selfishly glad that she didn't show up at the end.
Anyway, very fun. I liked it a lot. It was great. Good movie.
All right, I will let this horse die about the price and we will move on. It is dead. Yeah, anything else, Grace? Anyone we didn't get to call out? I feel like we talked a lot about this movie.
Yeah, it was good. It's a fun movie. I'm excited for an Ana de Armas John Wick spinoff. I think it's fun.
I think the universe is super fun. All the High Table stuff. I'm actually kind of shocked that he didn't go after the members of the High Table. Like, I think it would have been a much longer movie, but I was kind of expecting that to be the out for him of like, well, if they're going to keep killing me, I'm just going to kill all of them.
I thought that that's what the movie was. Like, I heard Keanu Reeves talking about like expanding the universe that we really get to know the High Table. And I'm like, we actually did not. We didn't get to know anybody in the High Table. Except
if anything, they reiterated in this movie, we all sit beneath the table. I'm like, where is this table? And how is it so high? Because everyone is so tall in this movie.
Yeah.
Ay, ay, ay. Wow. Well, if you didn't see this movie, I hope you enjoyed our talk. If you're going to see it, I hope you don't mind getting spoiled because now it's too late and we're 50 minutes into the pod.
Yeah. Yeah.
Grace, this was super fun. Yes. I hope you didn't get hit with any stray bullets. What else you have got going on? Where can people find you?
So I am talking Succession, doing it a couple times a week on the Immediate Recap pod with Josh and Jess. That's Sunday nights at 10, and you can come and listen. You can watch us on YouTube. And then on Tuesday mornings, you'll get a podcast with Dr. Amanda and I doing a deeper dive into the episode. We just recorded our first one. It's very fun. Should be out the same day that this is out. Also covering Yellowjackets, doing the early buzz reaction pods to that because Showtime's releasing the episodes on Fridays. You and I are covering Great Expectations, our official Coleman cast. First episodes are very fun. And we're
really
also
good. People watch this show. I feel like not only, I mean, I know there's a lot out there, but watch the show.
Yeah. And then we are covering Dark with Philly. Lots going on. I'm on Twitter at High From Grace.
So much going on around here. Subscribe to, if anything, certainly subscribe to our feed, as I already said, but subscribe to Post Show Recaps in general. That way you don't miss anything. Subscribe to the main feed if you're lazy or if you're just realistically too busy to look for other feeds. It totally makes sense. I am also on Twitter at that other Ariel, always posting what I'm usually only, sorry, these days, posting what I'm covering. You did all my plugs, so I have nothing to plug except saying the word plugs.
We have a fun one next week.
We'll be
PSR,
back.
Yeah.
We'll be. Is it a prequel? Is it a prequel to this? What are we covering next week?
We're going to play. Let's roll some dice. Let's go to Dungeons and Dragons. Honor Among Thieves.
Oh, my God. Yeah. D ampersand D.
That's right.
Incredible. Yeah. I can't wait. I hope we have a guest because so many people know way more about D&D than I do, and I'd be excited to talk to you.
I'll try and get a bard or something. Or
one. If you get somebody to do some wild shape.
I'll try
to
get a dragon.
Get a dragon or at least someone who could like wild shape into a dragon, I would super appreciate that. Yeah. But that'll be super fun. We hope to see you there. That's it from us. Thank you so much for listening. I'm Ariel. That's Grace. We are Post Show Recap Theater. Bye.